Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
If you sow honor as a seed of respect and of recognition, honor will compensate and silence all the doubts about every other weakness in your life. Honor will take you further than genius and all your experiences in life. Jesus judged others by their willingness to show honor. Did you know that? There's a lot of people who come to us, oh, just pray for me, Apostle. Just pray for me, Apostle. I want God to just be pleased with my life. I just want him to be pleased with my life. Guess what? It's a simple solution. All you got to do is follow the law of honor, and he'll be pleased with your life. Because the law of honor, that's how Jesus judged. Jesus judged. I'm not going to read the whole story to you, but he judged others by their willingness to show honor. He judged Mary, how she demonstrated honor when she washed the feet of Jesus. You can praise find God. That in Matthew 26,
that's right.
7 through 13. Matthew 26, 7 through 13. Read it for yourself. Honor is amazing. Honor even has a fragrance. Did you know that? Honor has a distinctive fragrance. And as well as dishonor has a distinctive odor. That's why we can honestly tell as seasoned saints in this walk, Apostle Andrew Smith and I, before we even can go and know you for a whole year, for a whole month, we don't even have to go out to dinner with you. One conversation, we can identify what is in your heart. Because
whether
you know it or not, whether you know it or not, you are giving off a fragrance or you're giving off an odor. You're either giving off a fragrance of honor or you are thinking with about odor of dishonor. And you can't disguise it. I don't care what perfume you buy, what body wash that you use. I don't care if you wash your clothes in Downy and all of that and you got all of the fragrances. You cannot disguise the stink of a skunk no matter what. It's going to go through.
Right.
It's going to shine through. You cannot disguise the stink of a skunk. You cannot hide the fragrance of honor either. No matter what layers of clothes you put on, if you have honor in your heart, let me tell you something, it shines through. You cannot hide the fragrance of honor. It's in your countenance. It's in your conversation. It verifies of everything that is in your heart. That's why I say you can have behavior of honor, but you're lacking the heart, the very essence of it, because it's not in your heart. Easily you can have the language of honor. Easily you can have the behavior of honor, but you're lacking the very essence of it. It's in your conversations. It's in your nonverbals. It's in your countenance. It verifies what's in your heart, which is honor if you possess it. You can talk to somebody 5 minutes and know their understanding of honor. Honor has a sound. Write that down. What is your sound, rhetorically speaking? You don't have to answer. Honor has a sound. Did you know that? A distinctive sound. But so does dishonor. This is why we know who we speak with. This is why the Bible says, know them that labor among you. You can know them in so many different ways. You try them by the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of honor. You could try them by the Spirit of honor, how they speak, how they smell, because it gives off a sound too. Listen to
Amen.
The sound of honor. And I'm telling you this as your apostle, as your pastor, as I speak to my members. But you can take what I'm saying and you can assess yourself as in, how do I sound to my apostles? But you can also take this and own it and say, wow, how can I tell people around me if they're honoring me? Use these same techniques. Use the same wisdom that I'm dropping to you to test some of the most loyal girlfriends and boyfriends that you have in your life. your homies, the girls that you that say has your back, you can test it on them. Are they quality friendships? Are they quality? Are my children really upholding the honor? Am I being a true daughter to my spiritual mother or my spiritual father or my biological guardian or whatever it is that you have a hold in high regard? Assess yourself. I'm all about accountability. I'm all about assessment. I'll tell you in a second, assess yourself. Examine yourself. That's something you should do on a daily basis. So as you talk and if people speak to you, listen for the sound of honor. In family conversations, even as you look on TV and, you know, some of those talk show hosts and news reporters, you know, sometimes you can see and we talk about them. Oh, they have no, oh, they just so disrespectful to their parents. Some of those reality TV shows and Murray when he was a big deal, I don't even know if he's still on, but Jerry Springer, all of that disrespect. What is that? Basically dishonor. And we talk about them. But are we doing it the same way? We may not be loud and vulgar like they are, but are you yourself carrying an attitude of honor and respect? Sometimes, even as we are growing the vision of this ministry, Apostle Andrew Smith and I, we're thinking about growing our staff. We want to have a staff where we are responsible for paying them a biweekly paycheck, which allows them to put food on their table. It takes them out of the environment of the corporate world, an unsafe environment, and puts them in a protected environment to be able to work for a ministry, work for God, work for the kingdom of God. How honorable is that? We want to be able to bless people, to take them off their jobs and place them in an environment where they are responsible single-handedly for getting the word out to hundreds and hundreds of different countries and different media outlets and help us monitor our mail and inboxes and schedule all types of speaking engagements. We want to do that. But before we just take anybody off the street and place them under our regime, under the ministry and pay them a paycheck, we got to check them out. How is their law of honor?
That's
because
right.
One thing we're not impressed by is a resume. I know a resume holds a lot of merit in the secular world. I know a resume is something that you must have when you're going on a job interview. But let me tell you something. Even resumes can be deceptive. You may have spent your entire life building relationships based off of resumes. But do you know that Lucifer, who's now called Satan, but Lucifer had the greatest resume? Think about it. If Lucifer came in and handed you a resume of his, it would be so impressive. His qualifications, what he did in heaven, what he was responsible for, how he reported to the top man in charge, how he was trusted with so much responsibility and delegated the responsibilities and powers. If you don't know, I'm telling you, we talk heavily on Lucifer and the fall of Lucifer, who is now called Satan. But just think, if Lucifer walked into your business, beautiful, clean, knew all the right things to say, resume was spot on, you only looked at the resume, and you hired based off the resume, and you finally got him inside of your business, but you didn't know who you just hired. You hired Satan. That's how easy it is to be deceived.
Wow.
Lucifer had the greatest resume. He worked next to God for years, but look what happened. Look what happened. Look how pride swelled in his heart, and he got kicked out of heaven. Just think about it. If you have a business, entrepreneurs on here, if you want to actually be a business owner, these are things that you have to think about. You can't just hire based off a resume. You can't hire based off who looks good, because we all know what happened. Just think if you hired a Lucifer. Just think if you hired a Lucifer, put him in a high position, and then he ended up swelling and wanted to take your position, wanted to get the company in his name. He said, skip your vision. I'm going to take over the company. He would destroy all of your hard work.
Amen. Amen.
Never evaluate people by their experience. That's why we tell people we're never impressed by your resume. In other words, we're never impressed by who you have rubbed shoulders with. We had one lady
so
come under this ministry, and all in the conversation. See, all it takes is just a few minutes with me. I know you exactly
right.
Where your heart is. God has given me that
mm-hmm.
eye, not because of a prayer, no, but because the Holy Spirit has shown me. All it takes is just a few minutes. As soon as we got on the phone with this lady who said she wanted to be a part of this ministry, all she did in the conversation was name drop. And I know Bishop so-and-so, and, ooh, yeah, and I prayed with his wife, and I sung with this person, and I went to their church. Yeah, he wanted me as an intercessor, but I said no. And don't you know Bishop so-and-so out of there? I thought you did, but guess what? I know his child, his daughter, is my friend. And I'm saying,
God.
I cut that lady off so fast, I gave her a God bless you, I prayed for her, and I hung up. I said, wow, where is your language of honor? You want to come under this ministry. We didn't ask you to come. You said God sent you. But instead of honoring, instead of coming with a humble spirit, you want to try and get us to think of you as this great person because you elbow rode so many people that
amen.
I
amen,
right
come on now.
Way. That's why we never evaluate people by their experience. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the greatest prophet. You can be the greatest evangelist, travel over the world. You could be somebody that's awesome in marketing. You could be somebody that's been solicited by so many companies and you've gotten paid six figures for your. It doesn't matter. Because when you're doing the work for the kingdom of God, we have to judge you on a different way than the world does. And it's not off the resume. It's by the language and the law of honor. We never evaluate people by their experience. Let this be, I'm giving you wisdom for your life too. Business owners, people that want to build friendships. Oh, you didn't think that this was important for friendships. Well, I just want somebody to go out to eat with and just to hang out with. You're going to need a law of honor even in a friendship.
That's right.
Well, you know,
amen.
I don't really like hanging out with people. I'm an island to myself. It's better that way. But you want a boyfriend or you want a husband, you want a wife, what do you think your marriage is going to hold on to in the midst of trying to come together and not be two but one? You're going to need honor to be the sole principle and pillar of your marriage.
That's true.
If a husband and a wife do not have honor, the language of honor, the odor of the fragrance of honor, the sound of honor, all you're in for is a rude awakening, verbal abuse, and maybe physical abuse. Because honor will keep you grounded. Never evaluate people by their passion. Because we get that too. Ooh, Apostle Smith, I just have a strong passion for the word of God, and I love miracles, and I love Jesus, and this is why I know I'm called to your ministry, and I'm called to be your armor bearer, because I just love you, man of God. I'm just so passionate about helping God's people. If we gave ear to everybody that said that they were passionate about something, I'm pretty sure this ministry would have failed and folded under about 2 years ago. Because what is passion sometimes is misplaced. What is passion sometimes is hyped up on emotion. And your emotions change every 10 seconds. You got to hurry by the soul.
My God.
I'm giving you nuggets. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're pulling out everything that I'm telling you. It's being recorded. And I'm about to get out there because honestly, my gosh, I could talk about this for 4 days straight. But I'm giving you bits and pieces. Giving you bits and pieces of what God has shown me through wisdom. You got to operate through a code of honor. When you learn how to operate in a code of honor, you're well on your way. Evaluate people by their code of honor. Who have they chosen to honor? Who have they chosen to honor through their words? Who have they chosen to honor through their time? Who have they chosen to honor through their friendship? This is a big one for me. You all don't understand that I can know who you are by who you fellowship with, who
that's
you
right.
claim to be in high regard.
Amen. That's right.
We've had people come in our presence, and they are like spot on with everything that they say. So then I give the question, so, okay, before us, so who are some of the people that you really follow and that you honor, that you've sown into, maybe have visited conferences? And let me tell you, some of the people and some of the names that they have named, I'm just like, oh, wow. When they tell me about their friends, oh, I have a friend, we've been friends for 20 years, she's my prayer partner, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, tell me. So they don't even know, but I'm asking them, tell me more about your friend. Oh, well, I don't know. Sometimes she just, you got to pray for her, Apostle, because she's been shacking up with this guy for like 15 years. She got like 4 children, and none of them know their dad. And I'm like, whoa, but that's your best friend? And your prayer partner? And she's shacking up in fornication. Really? That's your best friend and prayer partner, but you just told me she rarely goes to church? Wow.
My
that's
God.
Who you honor. That's who you honor. See, it's a little bit quiet. Some of you all I did mute because of your background noise, but I know it's got you thinking. Because
Amen.
Some of you all got situations like this, that you said, well, you know, a friendship is somebody just there for you when you're down. No, friendship is a lot more than that. There's a lot of people that's there for you when you're down, but you don't call them friends. Red Cross is there for you when you're down. Salvation Army is there for you down. Soup kitchens are there for you when you're down. The aid office is even there for you when you're down, but you're not calling them a friend.
Come on now.
Right. That's right.
You can learn a lot by a person of who they choose to celebrate. You can't tell me you've been friends with somebody for 30 years, and your level of Christianity, your level and pursuit of God has not grown to the point where you despise sin. See, I couldn't walk. The Bible says, how can two walk unless they agree? How can
That's
I talk
right.
to my very best friend? I share secrets with you, and you, quote, unquote, my prayer partner, but yet you are not offended by my holiness when I talk about God's righteousness and how you are shacking up, and that is against what God has wanted for your life. How can we
come
all together when every time we talk, I'm going to teach you and talk to you about the Word of God, which is going to go in direct opposite of how you live in your life? You will eventually become offended by my righteousness because you know that you're being torn to make a decision. Either live for God or separate yourself from me because
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
Everybody
Amen.
Around me is going to need to be on my same level. You're going to have to love God's righteousness. You're going to love what he loves. You're going to hate what he hates. If you're going to be around me,
Amen.
That means there's going to be many times you're going to want to talk to me and get my advice on how to overcome an argument with your fornicating man over there.
Yes.
So why would I enable it? Why would I give you a remedy that helps encourage that relationship when both of you all are in sin?
All right, now. All right.
That's right.
Who have you chosen to honor through your words? See, I listen for that, and you should too. The code of
Amen.
Honor. How do you speak about people? Every time I talk to you, you're talking bad about somebody else.
Jesus.
Now, how in the world am I supposed to say?
Come on. Amen.
Really got honor upon their life. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. They smell the fragrance of honor, but they talk about everybody to you. Which
Amen.
Basically means when they hang up the phone with me, they're going to talk bad about me.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right. That is the truth.
You are telling the truth. Telling the truth.
Amen.
Who have you chosen to honor with your time? I know one individual, they are crazy about their mom. Love, love, love their mom. My mom says, oh, I can't wait to bless my mom. And so I asked them, I said, well, when the last time you saw your mom? Oh, it's been about maybe about 6 months. Now, mind you, they don't live far from their mom. It's just a short drive away. I'm like, but you love your mom. You say you honor your mom, but you haven't seen her in months. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, that's fine. Well, when is her birthday? Oh, her birthday was just what? I think now about 4 weeks ago. Okay. Yeah. When did you get your mom? I know you blessed her. You told her up. Well, I called her, but she didn't pick up, so I sent her a text. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, but you honor her. See, the code of honor dictates to me who and how
Amen.
You spend your time. You can't tell Amen. Me you honor somebody, but yet you fail to go and visit them. You fail to acknowledge them on their love day or their birthday. You fail to even do just because gifts. The woman that birthed you, the woman that you say you love, that lets me know, if you can't do that with your biological parent, but yeah, you want to be a spiritual daughter of mine? I don't need it.
Jesus.
That's right.
You dishonorable little child. I look at all of that. I look at all of that. I look at some people who will honor their apostle greater than they will their husband. And that's my issue.
Jesus.
Come on. Amen.
That's what I look at. See, this thing is so deep. I'm trying not to go alone because this thing is so passionate for me that I spit it out like a automatic gun, and you'll miss something. So I said, Lord, help me to stay at a steady pace so that they can get this, because I could just go with a whole bunch of stuff, but I want you to really get it. So that's why I told God, I said, well, Lord, for that reason, I'm not going to speak long because I don't want to over-inundate them with information. But I got to talk on this. Some men will honor the apostle and his wife more than he will his wife.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's backwards.
Amen.
That's honor. I know that you thank God for us. A lot of what we say will help your marriage, will save your marriage, will help you from a depressed state, will save your children, will save you and your finances. A lot of what we're teaching in this ministry and will teach is going to save and prosper you, but you cannot honor us above yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It gives me a clear indication, because I'm telling you what happens is, especially if you're dealing with an unsaved spouse. And I'm talking about the spouse is living in the house with you. I'm talking about spouse that sees you day in and day out. They're just not saved, but it's a working marriage. I'm talking about this type of situation. What happens is, especially if they're not saved, but even if they are saved, but they're, you know, straddling the fence, they will grow to hate the man and woman of God.
Amen.
That's true.
Now you have become a stumbling block for them to receive salvation, because now they have grown hatred in their eyes for us or any leader. Doesn't matter if you're part of this ministry or not. Any leader that you've chosen to place above your spouse, whether it be a woman or a man, a wife or husband, they will grow to hate your honor for us and almost want to kill. A lot of times, you read about it, if you listen to enough evangelists, every evangelist has a testimony. I said, Lord, please don't let that be one of our testimonies. That every event, at least once, somebody has come up trying to shoot the evangelist because of the case of my wife or my husband loves you. And it ought to be a romantic love. It's just that they feel less than, that they're competing, because now they've given more honor to that evangelist, to that pastor, to that leader, than they have someone that they have supposedly sworn and vowed under the eye and view of God in matrimony. That's sick. You've got to grow in honor. Like you said, it grows in every environment. You can't just love and rush to us and honor us, but you can't sow seeds of honor with your own household, with your own working place, environment.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Also learn how to evaluate people according to, evaluate their code of honor according to who they've chosen to dishonor. That's a big one. It's easy to figure out who they honor, but I'm telling you, it speaks even louder who they've chosen to dishonor, who they've chosen to ignore, whose voice have they chosen to trust. Oh, we get this a lot. I can't stay on this because I'll stay on this for hours. We will spend an hour talking to somebody, praying for them. They want to tell us 70 different dreams. They want to do all. They want to use us, rape us, suck our life out of us. We tell them instructions by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They come back to us 1 week later exactly, saying, well, I need to talk to you again. I need to pray for you. Before we even, they need us to pray for them. Before we even can talk to them, we just revisit the last conversation. Now, listen, we spent an hour and a half talking to you. We prayed over you. We pulled down the heavens.
All right.
We gave you instructions.
Amen.
You said, we even asked you, because that's what we do. We ask people, do you believe that God has sent us, that we are chosen prophets by God? Do you believe that we are an apostle chosen by the Lord? I mean, we make them say it so that they can, on record, from their own understanding, say, yes, I acknowledge that you have a true spirit from God. So then when the 1 week later comes and they say, well, you know, I tried to fast, I tried to do this, or, you know, whatever instruction we gave them. Some of it is fasting. Some of it is God wants to meet you at 5:30 a.m. prayer. Some of it is God wants you to at least sow a seed, whatever it is. We asked him, did you do it? Well, I tried to, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, blah, 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 blah. Then I talked to my friend, and my friend was going through the same thing, and she said, all I need to do is just wait it out, and it's going to pass. Whoa.
Wow.
So whose voice have you chosen to trust?
Amen.
That of your girlfriend, who in the same situation as you, giving you
tell it.
That she can't get out of herself. But all of a sudden, she can grow and become the all-answer, all-knowing, all-be-all to you. But here
Amen.
Is a man and woman of God who God has
Amen.
Established by his hand, has given you instruction. But whose voice have you chosen to trust?
My
God. Yes.
What is the character of those they've chosen to trust?
Jesus.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today. And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world. That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.